It's good to be with you. It's good to hear your voices and song this morning. And I do want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, specifically this morning, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 4. If you've been with us over these last few weeks, you'll know that we are walking our way slowly but surely through Matthew's Gospel. And today we come to, I guess, one of the more famous scenes in this particular story. We've been on a string of famous scenes, but the scene where Christ is tempted, or we might even say tested, in the wilderness is among the top ones. And as is our custom, we'll be pairing this reading with a reading from the opposite testament this morning. That will come from Genesis chapter 3. I think if we'll strain our ears to hear, we'll see there's a lot of similarities between Genesis 3 as well as Matthew chapter 4. So would you listen closely and carefully to this God's word to us and for us? I'll actually begin in Genesis 2, begin in verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." And then in Genesis 3, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." And then from Matthew chapter 4. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourselves down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike a foot against the stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, 'All of these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him." The word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, in your kindness and in your mercy, we ask by the power of your Spirit that in this very moment you would do the thing that only you can do. And that is, by the power of your Spirit, to shine light on these words in your word. Lord, to shine light on the words that I prepared. And Lord, in a particularly pronounced way this morning, we ask that you would shine light on the places in our hearts where the light needs to be shown. Lord, would you do these things? Would you use these words to great effect in our hearts and in our souls? Lord, would you use them to give us great strength this morning, great hope in our Lord Jesus? And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So, by my best estimation, I think at this point, I've preached probably about 350 sermons at Grace Fellowship. And I shudder to think of how many words those sermons have contained that I have spoken to you. But I'm keenly aware that of the things that I say or we say from this particular place, I'm keenly aware that some of those words are harder to believe than others. Hard to believe just in the sense of when we hear the words, we think to ourselves, is that really true? And I think that I have a phrase that I say to you often, I think almost every Sunday. And I think it's one of those ones that are a little bit more like, is that right? I should probably tell you the phrase now. And that phrase is that Christ was tempted in every way that we were and are. But yet he's without sin. Now those are words straight from the book of Hebrews. But I do think they're among the harder to believe. I mean, was Jesus Christ really tempted in every way that we were or are? I mean, for example, the Lord Jesus was never a parent. So the temptation to be frustrated with your children. The Lord Jesus was a man. He wasn't a woman. So particular temptations, I think that maybe women in our church would either feel. You sometimes wonder, did Jesus really understand the fullness of that? Jesus was unmarried. It's one of these, like, did Jesus understand those temptations we feel in something like marriage? And Jesus is an ancient figure. Does he really understand things like the temptations of something like, I don't know, the internet? In other words, is it really true? And what I want to tell you this morning is yes, it really is. And I think when we listen to this scene where Jesus is being tempted and tested by the devil in the wilderness, I'm betting this morning that you could recognize those exact same whispers in your own life. I think as I explain what the devil is saying, I think you're going to think to yourself, golly, I've heard that. I'm hearing that even right now. So the main thing I want you to hear this morning as we look at this dialogue and this conversation between the devil and Jesus, the main thing I want you to hear this morning, it's the thing I hope you hear if you don't hear anything else that I say. I want you to hear this morning that Jesus is like us, understanding our situation fully, and not like us at the same time. He is faithful and true, even when we are faithless, as the Apostle Paul says, because he cannot deny himself. So Christ is the faithful one, even in the places where we're a failure. I really want you to hear that this morning. So as we take a look at this story, I do want to give you just a couple of keys to this story before we look at the conversation. Here's a first key that I want to make sure you understand. I'll try to point it out as we go. This scene is taking place in the wilderness, okay? This is another example of it sort of recapping or mimicking, in a way, the Exodus story. If you remember, God's people were in the wilderness, and out in the wilderness, we're told that they were tested. And in the same way, because Jesus is living Israel's story, as we've looked at over the last few weeks, Jesus is going to also be tested in the wilderness. The same wilderness temptations that befell God's people Israel are going to come to Jesus here in this scene. When you look at the scene, you're going to be thinking, that's Exodus stuff, Exodus stuff, Exodus stuff, and that's important to understand. And so that's one key to the story. And again, I think the other key to the story, which is something I've just told you, is I think you're going to recognize the same whispers. It's supposed to be a scene that shows us the breadth of human experience that Jesus encounters here, and the temptations and the breadth of human experience. So let's take a look together. Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This comes on the heels of the moment we looked at last week, the baptism of Jesus. Jesus in his baptism hears from the heavens, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." You could think of Jesus' baptism as being sort of the highest spiritual experience of his life. And then the temptation comes. You will find that to be very common in your own life as well. A moment where you feel great victory over sin even. Great fruit in your life. You can expect within, I don't know, a few seconds, the strongest temptations to come. And we're told that Jesus was led up by the Spirit in order to be tempted by the devil, which is interesting, and I think it's an important thing that's helpful for us to understand in our own temptations. Just what the Spirit intends to be testing in order that Jesus can be refined, if you will, in order that his faithfulness could be shown, in order that he could pass the test, the devil intends to be a moment where he is destroyed. It's just interesting, in temptation in our life, both those things are ever before us. In any moment of temptation in your own life, it's a moment of your faithfulness to shine forth and the beauty and wonder of obedience to God to be taken hold of, or for your life to be completely ruined. The Spirit intends one thing while the enemy intends another thing. Verse 1 again, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness in order to be tempted by the devil. The devil is often called in the scriptures the enemy, the adversary, the accuser. In the Old Testament, literally, the Satan, the accuser. He's known to be a liar. Anything he says cannot be trusted. He's known to be a deceiver, like a trickster. And here he encounters Christ in the wilderness. Verse 2. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Jesus is fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Again, the people of Israel ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. The whole idea here is what Israel went through in the wilderness, in the Exodus story, Jesus is going through now in kind of compressed form. And then one of the more obvious things the Bible tells us, he was hungry. Have you ever been hungry? And has it ever made you frustrated? Has it ever caused your better judgment to leave you? I think there's a word for this. When our hunger makes us angry. Isn't there a word for that? And here's temptation number one. Jesus is hungry. Now think about it. Jesus is a whole person. He's a full human being. So his pains of hunger from fasting would be connected to his spiritual well-being, his emotional well-being. He's hungry, and the devil uses that as an opportunity. This is a good example of how we can see how the devil is often tricky, but he is really predictable. If Jesus was hungry, how might you tempt him? Well, something related to hunger. See, the devil is, it's our Lord who's creative. The devil is predictable and somewhat, the word would be stupid. Predictable. Verse 2, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, remember that whole baptism moment where you were declared publicly from the heavens that you're the Son of God? Okay. I believe that about you. So if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. See, and do you recognize that? You have a legitimate longing. You have a legitimate hunger, appetite. But satisfy it in an illegitimate way. And if you're the Son of God, you have the power to do that. You can satisfy your needs through a means that God has not designed for your satisfaction of those needs. This is what the devil is essentially saying. It is interesting that the original temptation in the garden was, you see this piece of food? Doesn't it look good to eat? You could just eat it. The people of Israel in the wilderness found themselves out in the wilderness without food, and they begin to grumble and say, the Lord isn't really going to provide for us. We have to take things into our own hands. We have to gather enough manna for not just one day, but lots of days, just in case the Lord doesn't provide. We can, through illegitimate means, watch out for ourselves and satisfy our needs. And here's what Jesus says back. He answered, it is written, and his response is from the book of Deuteronomy, again, Exodus themes. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, what Jesus is saying back to the devil, he's saying in effect, God is the one who provides satisfaction for our legitimate needs. Man, people, God's people are intended to be satisfied by his provision. In other words, he says no. Because Jesus here shows us faithfulness in the exact place where we would stumble and fall. I do want to ask you this morning, do you hear that particular whisper in your life right now? Do you hear that? Hey, you have a longing and a deep desire, and God might not provide that for you. So satisfy it. If you hear that whisper, I do want to encourage you this morning to look to Christ, who's faithful. Which leads us to temptation number 2, and let's continue looking at the conversation. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You know, it's interesting that the devil just sort of adds to this here. He kind of continues the conversation. He's like, okay, I got you. You're going to trust God. I see. You're going to trust God for what you need. Well, why don't you make God prove it? You know, in other words, again, predictable. I think you're going to recognize it. This is what I called, and it's written in my notes as the old doubt his character and say you won't trust him unless he does something dramatic for you temptation. You know that one? Y'all, the amount of times I have said to the Lord recently, if you will do this and show me, then I'll obey. And it's interesting because it is the exact temptation that God's people face in the wilderness. And when Jesus faces this temptation, it was the exact temptation God's people faced in the wilderness, particularly when they came up and they were thirsty, and when Moses struck the rock to provide the water. But in that moment, we learned that God's people grumbled and complained and essentially doubted God's character. He only brought us out here to kill us. He cannot be trusted. That's what God's people Israel were saying. It's interesting that it's exactly like the temptation in the garden. Yeah, you're not really going to die. In fact, God knows that you'll be like him. His character can't be trusted. He's trying to hold out on you and not give you a good thing. And the devil, again, is tricky because he even says, the Bible even says that if you'll throw yourself off, he'll step in and save you. If you trust God so much, this is just what he says. Like just hop off. Let him save you. Do something dramatic. Make him prove it to you. And then Jesus responds in verse 7. Jesus said, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Back in that wilderness scene, God is frustrated because they put him to the test. They doubted his character, and he told them back then, you put me to the test at that place. And Jesus is saying, I'm not going to distrust my Father's character by making him prove something to me. In other words, Christ here is faithful. In the exact place where we would be tempted to be faithless. I do want to ask you this morning, like, do you hear that whisper in your heart or in your soul this morning in any way? Do you hear that whisper of you want that good thing? You want that good thing? Well, God probably doesn't want to give it to you. You could maybe ask him to prove it to you before you obey him. And if you do hear that whisper this morning, I want to say two things to you. Number one, look to Jesus. Number two, he's proven it already. Which leads us to the continuing of the conversation, temptation number three. Again, this could be understood as something like, okay, then finally the devil took him to a very, very high mountain. It's emphatic, a high, high mountain. So some sort of visionary experience the devil takes Jesus on. He took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all of these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, there's a couple things about this. On the one hand, it's more brazen and bold, right? Okay, fine, just bow down and worship me. First commandment, no other gods before me, smash that one. Be like the people of Israel in the wilderness who made the golden calf. Just break that one. Worship me and I'll give you all of this. On the one hand, it's really, really bold. And on the other hand, it's actually a little bit subtle. And let me explain what I mean here. Jesus is going to get all the kingdoms of the world. He's going to have all the glory of all the kingdoms of the world. By the end of this Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew 28, all authority will now have been given to Jesus as he sends out his disciples. At the end of the book of Revelation, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he holds the keys, which is a way of saying he rules the world. So there's a subtle irony here is that the devil is trying to tempt him to have something that he is going to indeed have. So therefore, the whisper is kind of subtle. If you're gonna get all that anyway, then just take a shortcut and you won't have to suffer. You won't have to wait. And I think that probably sounds eerily similar to temptation in your own life. You can take a pain-free, not costly shortcut to enjoy the promises of God. And the truth is, Jesus knows we can't. See, Jesus knows that the cross, costly obedience, was his calling. Y'all, I don't know how to say it other than the temptation towards shortcut is so strong, isn't it? Verse 10, then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and you shall only serve him." And then it is interesting that at that word, "Begone, Satan," verse 11, then the devil left him. Behold, angels came and were ministering to him. In him, a mighty fortress is our God, the hymn writer Martin Luther said, one little word shall fell him. Kind of like medieval for her. If Jesus just speaks, the devil will have to go. And Jesus just simply says, "Be gone, Satan," and Satan left him. In other words, Jesus is faithful in the exact place where you and I would be tempted to be faithless. I do want to ask you this morning if you've heard or are hearing that particular whisper. And if you're hearing that whisper in a particular way this morning, I do want to encourage you to look to Christ, who is faithful in the exact place where you would be faithless. And I want to encourage you to look to him and to be okay to wait for his provision. You see how when you begin to look at this scene, you begin to see that Jesus is exactly like us. He's experienced it all the same as we experience it, yet without sin, yet with complete faithfulness. When you look to this scene, you start to see, oh, this isn't just a tale Matthew told us of a cool event that happened in the life of Jesus, but rather it's something happening in the life of us right now. And here's the good news of the gospel. Number one, Jesus was tempted and tried in every way that you were, yet without sin. Number two, therefore, he can be a faithful Savior to rescue you in these moments. Number three, and he has offered forgiveness and mercy and grace and atonement and redemption and cleansing in all the places where you have fallen. And more can be redeemed from those moments than you can possibly know. And four, by his power and by the power of his Spirit, which is the same Spirit dwelling inside of you, is dwelling inside the Lord Jesus right now. By his power, you can obey. In his faithfulness, you can find yours. It won't be strength inside of you. It will be Christ's for you. Let's pray together.